Hello and good day, everyone. Kevin Finkle here, and this is another episode of Magic: The First Pioneers. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined, always, by my co-host,
Ryan Schwenk, the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
And how are you doing today, Ryan?
A little sleepy. I'm feeling better now because I'm excited to talk about today's topic.
I feel you there. You know, it took me a little bit of time to ramp up into wanting to really brew for the new season here. And now that I'm getting into it, I'm starting to feel myself. You know, this is M21. It's, you know, just dropping on Arena. It's not really out yet. But we're brewing with it. You know, we're seeing what's going to be some fun, really new things that's going to happen in Pioneer. We could have done an episode all about, like, hey, you know, here's all the top decks and here's the one or two cards that maybe they're going to try out and then maybe not even play. Mm-hmm. Rather than just do that, what I was really looking at is, like, hey, here are some just wild ideas, you know, out there things that aren't currently meta, but hey, it's getting to try out a new card. You know, some of those ideas that we had during the set review episode, which if you guys haven't listened to, go back and listen to the set review because we talk all kinds of fun things there. But then we go ahead and brew. And so this is kind of maybe a more casual episode. You know, we're not going to be going in depth about what's meta because right now there is no meta. We got a new set coming out and everything's going to change.
I don't know, because sometimes you talk about a deck during our brew episode and it ends up being like one of the best decks, like Kefis combo way back in the day.
I've had a couple of those, yeah.
Yeah, you had some genius moments. So, you know, maybe this is just, you know, a view of things to come, I guess.
Ooh, on that note, you know, I don't have it as one of my brews for today, but Kefis combo got yet another infinite little combo. You know, for anyone who hasn't been keeping up with that deck, it's gotten some cool tools in the last few releases. It's one I play a lot. You know, they've got Uro, which is great now. They play main deck. What is the companion that got everything banned? Lurrus.
Lurrus.
So there's an infinite combo with Lurrus, and now there's also another infinite combo with Niambi. So you get to have some fun things going on in that deck.
Is that the blue white, or is that?
Yeah, that's the blue white. Teferi's daughter.
Okay. Yeah, I think I remember that. I think you were talking about that in the set review.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's not a frequent thing that comes up, but it happens. You know, once you've dumped your whole library into your graveyard, you can set up this infinite combo, and it's another way to win if you don't have, you know, some other way to win on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Another quick question before we get started. Are you going to be able to before we get into the topic, are you going to be able to do the pre-release at all?
I will probably do one on MTG Arena. I'm not yet ready to go out and brave my local game store.
Yeah, so of course, you know, USA is kind of scary, but Japan is opening up. However, they do have some spikes, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to go. They're only doing like 8 people total. Everything's going to be social distance, and they're going to have plastic, and everyone's going to be wearing masks, so I'm fine with that. So I want to play Paper Magic for the first time in like 5 months.
Ah, sounds great. I'm jealous.
All right, so let's jump into this. Let's talk about fun brews from M21.
Fun. Why don't you go ahead and kick us off? What is something fun you have brewed up for us today?
Before we talk about that, what cards do you feel like deserve to be brewed around? So, like, I didn't brew around all of these because I didn't really have time to brew up like 20 decks. But there is definitely some cards that I wanted to brew around. For example, one of those cards is Vito, Thorn of the Duskrows.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool one.
I wanted to brew with Chandra's Incinerator.
Yes, that's the one that I wanted to brew with and have not yet gotten somewhere on.
And of course, you know, in the set review, I talked about Azusa, Lost But Seeking. I wanted to brew something with her.
Go and figure out why she's not good.
Yeah, and then I wanted to brew something with Massacre Worm. I thought that would be fun. And then also I wanted to have a deck where I could play with Spark Hunter Mastercore as well, maybe like a Hate Bears type thing.
That's definitely one that I've had trouble finding a spot for. I think I've thrown him as a sideboard card in a number of Coco decks, but I haven't yet found like where he would really shine.
Mm-hmm. The best idea I had from, I didn't make a brew for it today, the Massacre Worm. Do you remember the Dagger Burn deck?
Yes, of course I remember the Dagger Burn deck.
So for anybody that doesn't know about the Dagger Burn deck, it played the, was it 2-mana black enchantment, I believe, from Hour of Devastation. Whenever a creature comes into play on that person's side, it deals 1 damage to them, and you gain a life,
so it's an aura curse. You put it on to play on your opponent, and whenever a creature comes into play under their control, it triggers, and you gain 1, they lose 1.
And then the deck plays like a lot of different ways to give your opponent's creatures, which is like the Dousing Dagger. I think it's like 2-mana, and your opponent gets like 2/0/1, you know, tokens.
Mm-hmm.
I think
2 or 3,
and
it would use Panharmonicon, so it would get 4 tokens, and each of those would deal 2 damage to them. So, I mean, part of that deck though was also running the Saheeli combo, so I think that's a little harder if you can't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, I like the Massacre Worm idea of just like, you know, give them all this free stuff and then killing it all, just as another top end to kind of, you know, push them over the edge. Okay.
And you could Yorion in that deck.
Yeah, I guess you could. I mean, I forgot what colors are. I thought it was like black, green, and red, but yeah, you could probably play Yorion in there. So yeah, that was the one card that I wanted to kind of play around with, but I didn't really have time to do today. What was on your list? Were there any cards that you didn't have a chance to
build around yet? A lot of the blue cards, you know, there were plenty of them that interested me, like the especially the 5-mana of the Storming Entity. I feel like that should get somewhere.
I thought you were going to brew with that.
Keeps calling my name. Teferi hasn't found a spot for me yet. Discontinuity or the other, you know, big blue instant spell. None of them have really found a spot for me yet, and I think they will.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I'll try them.
Like, I was basically leaving all the blue cards to you today, so.
Oh, okay. I've got a couple blue decks. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, you have a lot of brews today, so maybe we should have you go first.
I'll start with one that I don't think should surprise too many people, because it's kind of a more, it's probably a well-known idea. I went with a pretty basic idea of green-white scales. Now, this is something I'm already seeing other people trying out online. You know, I just watched Versus Live always sometimes does Pioneer, and they just had their first episode. They had a green-white scales that looked a little bit different. They were going with the one-drop creatures that grow, you know.
When they die? And they come in with a counter, you mean? Or
no, the ones that when you play another big creature, they grow bigger. So there's the it's not Den Protector, it's
Pelt Collector
and Experiment One.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going with Hwatli's Raptor, which then grows. And for top end, you know, another good counters card is the Loxodon.
Mm-hmm.
That you tap all your creatures and then they all get bigger. So
yep.
That was one way to go with it. I wanted to go instead with the version that would play, you know, Elvish Mystic Llanowar Elves, so an 8 Dork deck, and then a little bit harder on Planeswalkers. So I've got Nissa Voice of Zendikar as a 4 of, and I've got the Ajani the Greathearted, that's the War Ajani.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, he minuses, puts a +1/+1 counter on each creature and counters on your Planeswalkers. So really just kind of going wide. And then the other new card that I'm trying out here, well, besides, so Conclave Mentor is the main reason we're trying green white here. That's the new 2/2 that
it's a constrictor.
It's a constrictor.
Except you gain life. Yeah.
Yes. The other new card I was trying out is Bastri's Lieutenant, and he has really impressed me. So that's the 4-mana 3/4 vigilance protection from multicolored, and it puts a counter when it enters. It can put it on itself if it wants, and then whenever another creature you control dies, if it had a counter, you make a knight. So it can really, you know, help your go wide strategy and then protect you from board wipes. Do a lot of nice things.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, we didn't have a chance to really talk about that during our set review. I wanted to talk about that, so I'm glad that, you know, you chose to brew with it today.
So maybe that could be Loxodon in that same spot, but I like the raw power that he kind of brings.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've really got a lot of that protection from multicolored is cool.
I mean, it depends on the metagame, right? I mean, like if you're playing a super fast aggro metagame, where you want to hit as fast as possible, then maybe you play Loxodon. But if you're running into more of a control type meta, I would like Bastri's Lieutenant a lot more.
Yeah, and then one little thing that's hiding in here is Helia the Suncrowned. You know, he's a white card. He puts +1/+1 counters on things, and if you just happen to have him and Ballista in play at the same time, it's a nice little way to win the game. And he does kind of synergize with Ajani. He synergizes with the Conclave Mentor that gains you life. So there's some just some free ways to gain life here that makes him go off.
Yeah, I think it's like it's just a free slot. It's a free card, and it's nice to have that backup combo.
Yeah. It at least makes your opponent have to respect it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I think this looks like a solid deck. You got Gideon of the Trials in the sideboard, you know, for the combo matchups. Dromoka's Command, how happy are you at with that in this metagame, though?
It's been decent. You know, it's not been, you know, getting anybody. It's not like when people would run Courser as their only enchantment and you could always take it out. But definitely, you know, it's a strong card. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen much complaints about it. I haven't had much complaint about it.
And I also say you have Ajani, Mentor of Heroes, in the sideboard. Why'd you end
up
choosing that?
Yeah, that's a fun of in the sideboard. I don't need to talk about the fun of sideboard cards I put in brews.
But... Something for control, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm the only thing that I don't like about the deck is, like not the mana, I would say. I'm still kind of dissatisfied with the amount of green-white fast sources in Pioneer.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely feeling the struggle of that in this set. There's a lot of, like, green-white, green-red decks I'd like to be brewing right now, and it makes it hard.
Yeah, I was also, you know, working on a green-white deck, and, yeah... The man is the hardest part. You know, you don't have your pain lands, you don't have your fast lands. Just, yeah, frustrating. Okay, so how about I talk about my green white deck next? Does that sound good?
Yeah, let me see what you got. Ooh, okay, I see here. I see where
you're
going.
So if we go to the deck list area right above here. So one of my casual decks back in, I want to say Amaket Black, was Green-White Cats. I actually did very well with Green-White Cats at Nationals in Japan. I went like 5-1 or something like that. Or maybe it was like 4-1. And then I went like 2-1 in my draft. So I was like 7-2 or 6-2 going into the second day. I was like in the top, I don't know, 40 people, 50 people. And then I lost badly. I'm happy. This is definitely a brew. This is probably something that's not going to be super powerful, and I could definitely use your advice, because this is a collected company deck. I don't really know how to, you know, build or play collected company decks, other than you need to have like 26 creatures or so.
Mm-hmm. That's probably about right.
So basically, I just went with all the 1, 2, or 3 mana cats. And there's a lot of good 2-drops. I think we talked about...
There are a lot of good 2-drops. So I see you've got, you know, you've got 8 copies of a 3-mana, or 2-mana 3-3 with a Bronze Hide Lion, Fleece Mane Lion.
Yep.
And then your last one is a Dorne Pouncer, which it's a 1-1, but it's double strike. So if you're playing a Lord on turn 3, then that's also going to still be a 4-power swing.
Plus the, you know, ability to get it back in the grave from the graveyard later on. Sacred Cat is our 1-drop, of course. New Lifelink.
Yeah, that's a real shame.
Bad.
There is that's our only 1-drop. I really think they needed to print. Savannah Lion in this set.
Yeah, that would have been good. A two one cat would have been really good.
Sure, it would have seen play definitely.
Another thing is, like, I mean, you could play the other new Ravnica one that gets bigger whenever you play a copy, but. I like the life gain a little bit more if this is a little bit of a slower deck, because you're not going to be ramping into the collected company with this. This is just straight, you know, every turn you're just going to try to put out power, 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 power. So 3-drops, you have the new Lord, the Feline Sovereign, 3 mana. It gives all your cats +1/+1, and they have protection from dogs. And I forgot, what else do they do? I think...
When you deal damage to a player, you can destroy an enchantment or artifact.
Yeah, which is nice. Everything kind of turns into a reclamation stage, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I could definitely punish the, like, white deck, I'd think.
The mono-white deck. You mean, like, the devotion, right?
Yeah.
Another fun card that I haven't really seen too much of in Pioneer is Bermaz, the King of Oreskos. So 3/4, really hard to take rid of.
He is tragically fair.
But it's still decent. Like, if you're putting in a new cat each turn, it's, you know, going to get, you know, it blocks, you get a cat, you attack, you get a cat. He's hard to get rid of, unless, you know, you revolt one of your fatal pushes or something. I mean, there's just so many dangerous targets. Of course, Luris of the Dream Den would have to be in here. He's a cat, and it brings back all of those 2-drops, all those 1-drops. So this has a lot of staying power, I think. And then Pride Sovereign's the last one. That's the 3-mana green one from, I want to say, Hour of Devastation. And it gets bigger depending on how many cats you have in play. So if you have 4 cats, it's like a 5. It gets +4. Sorry, if you have 5 cats, it gets +5. And he's like a 7/7. And plus, you can exert him to put another cat token into play.
Two of them, actually.
Two of them. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, this is just raw power. Very good. It's cute. It's fun. It's probably not going to do very well against combo. So, you know, I have no idea what to do with, like, the extra slots that I had. Like, I had Dromoka's Command like you. I have Collected Company. And I had a couple more, so I thought, you know, why not Celestia Charm for Trample? Because you can have all these big guys, but if they chump block, you know, what's the point?
It's not bad.
I mean, I could have put more creatures in there, maybe, but I'm not sure. And then, of course, in the sideboard, because we have all cats, in the main board, we have Kahira, the Orphan Guard, which, you know, is basically a free card later on, you know, which gives all your cats vigilance and +1/+1.
Now, that's the biggest thing that I noticed right away, is that you've got Kahira in the sideboard, but you don't have him in the main board. I think that's a big mistake.
Should I have both? Because I had it in there before, and then, like, I got rid of it. Can you still have it sideboard and main board and use it as your companion?
Yes, so you can have one as your companion, and you can have three in the main board.
Okay.
And because it's still a cat, so it sees itself as a cat, and that's no problem.
So you would actually go up to, like, what, seven lords in the main then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I guess that's also a thing. I'd play as many lords as you want. Another card that I was thinking of playing was Metallic Mimic, but then I couldn't play Kahira if I did that.
Yeah, and that's probably a big loss.
Because Metallic Mimic, just whoo, all your stuff gets huge. So what else? Anything else you think? I got Prowling Serpipard, so you know, in the sideboard for control. Regal Caracal, if I need to get life gain to everybody for, like, burn.
I think my biggest worry is that you are very short on lands. I think you probably need about four more lands in this list right now.
How many do I have? 4, 8, 12, 23. I have 23, so I need 27.
You've got... Oh, okay, you've got 20. Okay, I miscounted there. I was thinking you had 19. So, okay, you've got the right amount of lands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's reasonable. I think I would make room for the Kahiras. That's probably the best thing I could do. And, you know, I do wish you could find one more one drop. You know, there is, like, the Leonin something that it's like a 1/1, and if you've got three or more creatures, you get +1/+1 and, like, gain one life kind
of
thing.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually. I could do that.
Yeah, I know that one drops are really the weakness there. And that Wizards, what are you doing? Why can't you just give us a one drop?
So play four of those cats, you think, early on, just to...
You know, maybe two of them, something like that, just to give yourself a little bit more option.
Maybe get rid of that. I'll get rid of that Celestia Charm. I don't need those. Those are just joke pieces. They're fun. Yeah. Oh, and of course, I got Gideon of the Trials in the sideboard for the combo decks. That's the biggest deck that I'd be worried about, this deck facing.
Yeah. That makes the most sense right now. You know, that, Damping Sphere, yeah, I think that those are kind of a must-have for any white deck here.
Is Collected Company the best kind of, like, card advantage spell that I want to be playing here? Do I want to have, like, the Sacrifice one, the Eldritch Evolution, or
do I want to play Eldritch Evolution here? Is negative card advantage. I think Coco probably makes sense. You know, your deck's not doing a lot else with the mana, so but I think that probably works. I'd love to run this deck through, see what where the kinks are, but yeah this seems like the day one how I brew it up.
It's a fair deck, which sucks.
that's very, very fair.
So you can have fun playing it, but you're going to lose. All right, so probably. What's your next deck then? What's your next brew?
All right, I'm going to go with probably my least practical one here is this black-white life gain deck, if you want to click on that.
Yeah, checking that out now.
this is probably right up your alley, but I really wanted to see, like, hey, is Speaker of the Heavens broken? Can it be good? That's that one mana lifelink vigilance that taps to make a 4/4 angel if you've got at least 27 life. Oh my god. So I'm going pretty hard on this. I'm running Providence, if you know that card.
Yes, the one from
Eldritch Moon, I think.
Eldritch Moon, yeah.
If you've got it in your opening hand, you start at 26 life, and if you actually cast it, which, you know, I've done once, you end up at 26 life.
That's funny.
Pretty much puts you right there with the speaker. I'm also, the other real way to, like, really power it out is Peace of Mind. So this is a card, it's a 2-mana enchantment, and you can pay one and discard a card to gain 3 life. So you're going to dump your hand, just gain a bunch of life, and then that not only powers up the speaker, it powers up, we've got the new Griffin Airy, which whenever you gain 3 or more life, you create a 2/2. We've got the Silver Smoke Ghoul, which whenever he's in your graveyard, you return him to play if you gain 3 or more life. So you can kind of loop those, you know, like... sacrifice them from play to draw cards, sack those to Peace of Mind, bring them back.
So Peace of Mind is also M21?
It's been reprinted a couple times, so it's
I don't remember that card at all.
I mean, yeah, who would actually play that unless if you're being... And even the one more I've got here is Alms of the Vein. This is another way to gain 3 life, but it's also, if you discard it with Peace of Mind, then you madness it. So you can pay 2 to gain 6 and they lose 3.
I'm surprised you don't have, like, Theladar or Sovereign in here.
Yeah, I didn't go... You know, I was looking at some of the options for kind of the top end. You know, there's Theladar Sovereign, which, you know, that's hard to get to the 40. There's also that Crested Sunmare, which whenever you gain life during a turn, you make a horse, and they're all indestructible. What I do have is I've got the Resplendent Angel. That's the 3/3 that if you gained 5 more life, you make a 4/4 angel, so that's another way to power out some angels. I've got Luris, who's great at bringing back those Speakers of the Heaven.
I like the veto. I don't know if I might do 2 veto, though.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of just isn't there as fun of. I do think Vita will see play. You know, right now the Black Vampires deck is very good, and I think he's worth playing in there.
But, like, if you were going to build a deck around Vita, it would be this, I think.
Like, Or, you know, you'll just run him in a deck with Gary, and, you know, he doubles the damage from that.
Okay, yeah. Instant combo. Yeah. No, I like this.
I didn't have quite enough mana, but I almost I drew Providence when I had Vito in play, and I almost dealt someone like 25 damage. But
now
that was a silly game.
I want to know why are you playing Luris of Dream Den just to get back Speaker of the Heavens?
Mostly, yeah. I mean that's a really important card to bring back. It's kind of what the whole deck's built around, and I mean he's also just a 3/2 lifelink, which is good for the deck.
Okay. I don't know about that Luris. That's the one thing I mean, I feel like, I don't know, there's a better way.
I almost want more of him. He's been great.
Because, I mean, you have the Soren Vengeful Bloodlord in there to be able to get back Speaker of the Heavens. So I don't know if there's maybe a better, like, life gain. I mean, it's 3 life again, which is nice,
activate. He fits well. You know, you can grab the Ares from the graveyard, too. If you discard Peace of Mind, you can get that. So he's not bad.
I'm really excited about that Griffin Area. That's, like, pretty spicy, I think. I like that. So we get a couple different ways to win. I'm proud of you for going so janky on this, because usually it's me doing like the really bad jank, but you know, you get the prize this time.
Okay, nice.
I don't know if it's gonna be good though.
Oh no, it's probably not. Yeah, not at all.
But it's fun.
But every once in a while, you'll start at 26 life and then play that guy on turn 1, and turn 2, you're making a 4/4. So
yeah.
Every turn.
All right, so if you don't mind me going next, I want to talk about a deck that will probably hate that deck.
Okay.
So I have a burn deck that I brewed up. I've been talking about Turbo Alchemist Burn for so long on the podcast, so I finally put my money where my mouth is, and I brewed up a mono red Turbo Alchemist Burn deck.
Nice. Okay.
So if anybody doesn't know the Thermo Alchemist, it's a 0/3 from, I would believe, Eldritch Moon, and whenever you play an instance, I believe, instant or sorcery, you untap it.
Instant sorcery, yeah.
Yeah, you untap it, and then you can ping whenever it taps. So you play multiple spells in one turn, and you can just tap, and keep pinging. So I have that in this deck. I have the Electrostatic Field, which I believe is from Guilds of Ravnica. That's a 0/4 wall that deals 1 damage whenever you play an instant or sorcery. And then the new card that I'm playing here is this Chandra's Incinerator, which is, I believe, was it 7 mana?
Ooh, might be 6, I think.
Yeah, like 6 mana.
5 and a red. Yeah,
so 5 and a red. It's a 6/6 trample, and whenever you... I don't have it in front of me right here. If you deal non-combat damage, it reduces the cost. So if you burn them for, like, 5, then it comes out for 1 mana as a 6/6. And then it deals extra damage or double damage, whatever the whatever non-combat damage you do, I believe. So if you're pinging, you'll do 2 damage instead of 1. If you're burning, you know, like for example with like a Wild Slash, which I have in here, it'll deal 4 damage. So it basically just makes all your burn better. And some of the other cards I have in here. Let me just go through my burn suite. We got Wild Slash 4 of, Lightning Strike 4 of, Fiery Temper as a 4-of. And because, you know, we kind of need to be able to use the Fiery Temper as one mana, I got Risk Factor, which your opponent will not want to, you know, they'll not want to take the 4 damage probably, so you'll get those cards. And it's got Jumpstart, so you can discard it. For example, if you want to use, like, Collective Defiance, which is another one that discards all your hand and then lets you draw more. So, you know, if you have Fiery Tempers in there and the, you know, Risk Factors, you can just play those again from your graveyard. And then I also have Thrill of Possibility, which is like our instant speed torment, tormenting voice. You know, you discard a card, you draw two. So you put those Fiery Tempers or, you know, the whatever else he wants into the graveyard. And to take advantage of all these, you know, instants that are going to be in the graveyard, I have two Bedlam Revelers, which is a 3/4 for six, but it gets one less for each. I believe instant sorcery, and it has prowess as well. And when it comes into play, you get to discard your hand, I believe, and draw three. Right?
Yes, that's right.
And then the other one that I thought I'd try out is the Ox of Agonas, which I think Jonathan was talking about back during our Theros review, and he wanted to play with that.
Yeah.
So this is something you'd probably want to just get rid of right away. You know, you're not going to play for 5 mana in this deck, because I believe this deck only has like 22 lands. 22 or 23. Yeah, 22, I believe. So, yeah, you just throw that away right away, and then you can escape it for 2 mana, and it comes back, and when it comes into play, you discard your hand, and you draw 3 as well. So,
yeah.
So that's the deck. You know, you just burn people out. And, of course, you know, in the sideboard, you got your Rampaging Ferocidon, so they can't gain life. You have Satyr Fire Dancer, so you can just keep burning them to the face and redirecting the extra damage. Sorry. Satyr Fire Dancer is a 1/1 for 2 mana, and whenever you deal damage to an opponent, you can also deal damage to a creature. So you just keep burning them.
Kind of the same thing the Incinerator does, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, you know, I looked at old Alchemist decks, and I looked at old Burn decks, and I put this together.
Yeah, so a couple things. So first I want to talk about the creature suite. So you've got the Electrostatic Field and you've got the Thermo Alchemist. Now, what about it that you chose those two? Because there are a couple other options. So there's the Lava Something Archer.
That 2/1?
Which is the 2/1, yeah. Which is also 2-mana 1. Or if you go to 3-mana, there's Gutter Snipe, the 3-mana 2/2.
I also have
2
that
damage
in there.
Every time you cast. Yeah.
I'm worried about getting to 3-mana.
And there's also now the Blister Spit Gremlin, that 1-mana that can tap. It has to pay 1 each time.
You guys told me not to play that, so that's why I didn't put him in there.
It probably doesn't fit. That's fine. That's
these
fine.
These are good blockers. 0/4 and a 0/3 are going to be hard to take care of. You know, if you know they have Fatal Push, okay, they're dead. But otherwise, yeah, I think, you know, you just want to be able to burn, and not have to worry about them, you know, hitting you too early, too fast.
Okay, now as far as your burn suite, so the couple that I really think I feel like are missing here are the ones that have the, it's not Revolt, it's a Spectacle. You know, you don't have a Light Up the Stage or the Skewer of the Critics.
I should have played that. I totally forgot about the newer cards. I was looking at the the older decks, so...
Those seem like a couple of good ways to go. And then I'm wondering if, you know, if you want something else to go over the top, you know, maybe it doesn't work with that. You know, you've got Bedlam Reveler Ox. Maybe those are one way to go. The other way I might look at would be Experimental Frenzy.
Yeah. You can play lands off the top, I guess. And then again, getting to 4 mana seems hard. Maybe in a sideboard?
Sure, but I mean, it's kind of your top end card.
Yeah.
The only other one I was really thinking about is, like, you know, Never Found a Home, and I thought it was going to be a good card, was Slaying Fire. Did you look at that one?
What I've heard of it. Is that the...
That's the... It's 3 damage to any target for 3 mana,
the
but
adamant.
If you spend all red, it does 4 damage instead.
Yeah, it's the adamant one. Yeah.
Yeah, that never saw any play.
Yeah. I wanted to go just, like, 1 or 2 mana. I think the... Not the Light of the Stage. The... what was the other one?
Skewer the Critics?
Yeah, Skewer the Critics I think will definitely go in here. Something I would try
out. I can
out.
See that. Okay.
So.
And I guess that's a little awkward because you won't deal damage to them until you've already cast the spell. But.
And I can almost build this in Historic as well. So sorry, this is the Pioneer Podcast, but I can get a feeling for it.
Yeah, definitely. Especially once you add a couple of the New sets, maybe.
Is the rampaging, right. Is three rampaging for Acidani enough to stop Life Gang, you think? Shake up to four. It's pretty important, right?
Yeah, three's probably fine. I mean, I think that's a decent...
Yeah.
It'll do its job.
All right, your turn.
All right, where am I going next? All right, I think let's go with the one I think I've liked the most as far as, you know, power level and specifically looking at it as a good counter to Inverter. Is, you know, that's really the deck that I think has the biggest target on its back, and I was looking at, like, what's good against that? And I'm like, okay, I want cheap aggressive creatures, and I want a lot of interaction. So I'm built what I'm calling Esper Delver. You know, Delver in older formats, it's really, you know, a deck built around the fact that you've got a 1-mana 3/2. You're going to put that into play, and you're going to just beat them down with it while all of your other cards stop them from answering it. So in Pioneer, what we have now is we've got Thieves Guild Enforcer. It's a 1/1 flash, but when it enters or another rogue enters, your opponent mills 2. And as long as you have 8 or more cards in your graveyard, it gets +2/+1 death touch. So it's a 3/2 for 1 mana. It's Delver now.
Yeah.
And I do want to note, you know, there's a couple matchups where maybe milling your opponent is bad, but hasn't been, you know, too much of a problem. And it is really important that if you are using this against Inverter specifically, you can really mess them up by, you know, they've got 2 cards left in their library. You just flash this in and they mill out and die.
Yeah.
So that's pretty big. And then, you know, we kind of build around a little bit of the flash creatures and a lot of disruption. So as far as the creature suite, I've got, you know, Knight of the Ebon Legion is just another, it's the other best one drop aggressive creature I could find. I've got a couple of Cunning Knight Bonder. I've got a full set of Brazen Borrower, a full set of Spell Queller, and that's backed up with a full set of Teferi. I've got a Tasigur as a one of, and then, you know, my disruption, I've got 4 Fatal Push, 4 Thought Seize, 4 Drown in the Lock, which has been amazing because it's a counter spell that, you know, most decks can't make that counter spells right now. And then I'm also throwing in Angelic Ascension, which has been really good in this deck.
Yeah, please.
That's one that I was excited about early on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got if they're aiming a removal spell at one of your creatures, you just upgrade it into a 4/4, or, you know, they're attacking your Teferi, you upgrade it into a 4/4. So you're already playing the flash game, you're already keeping all your mana open. This is, you know, huge for that. And then if you do have something you need to remove that the opponent has, you've got Brazen Borrower and Teferi. It's really easy to bounce their card.
So it's just another tempo card.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say before, I don't know if you wanted to talk about the sideboard real quick or not.
Nothing too big. You know, we got Containment Priest is another fun flash threat. Nimble Obstructionist is another good one against the Inverter decks.
To stop the activate the triggered ability of what was it, Inverter, right?
Yeah, or the actual way to win the Oracle.
Okay, yeah. One thing that I thought maybe this deck could use, I don't remember the name, the Spectre, I want to say. It's like the Dimir Spectre. It's one in a black and a blue and 2/2 flyer. Whenever it deals damage, you look at the top, what, 3 cards of the opponent's library?
Right.
And then,
I didn't include it. I think it's definitely an option. I was trying to not go too hard on 3 drops because, like, there's that. There's also the, you know, there is the Slither Wisp, the, like, 3/2 flash that when you play another flash card, you draw a card. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go so hard to build around that card. So I was kind of limiting my 3 drops. But maybe that's one to try out, especially sideboard.
Yeah, just an idea. I don't know how you would play it. I just like it with the extra mill effect. And maybe against controllers.
Ooh, that's a good point. Maybe I'm going to have to try that out.
You know, like if you, instead of 3 Containment Priests, you have like 2 and then, you know, you drop a Collective Brutality maybe. I don't know. So something like that.
Yeah, different matchups, but I could see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But interesting. Like I said, you're a genius. This will probably end up being one of the better ones in the, you know, the Pioneer metagame for this season. So
it could be playable. I think it would be pretty cool if it was.
Okay. All right, do you mind if I do my last deck, and then we'll give you one more after that?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So, of course, you guys said it can't be done, but you know, I'm going to be playing Azusa, Lost But Seeking in my green-black Scape Shift deck. So people have been calling this Dread Shift because it plays the Dread Presence, you know, which is the 3/3 for 4, and whenever you play a Swamp, it deals 2 damage to any target, and you gain 2 life, or you get to draw a card and lose 1 life. And what you have in Pioneer, you have the dryad of the Ilysian Grove that turns all of your lands into basics of all types.
Well, all basic types, and they don't become basics, but yes.
Yeah, but basically they become, they have that as an added type. So basically all your stuff becomes a swamp that will activate your Dread Presence whenever you play a land. And then we also have Urborg, Tomb of Yawgmoth, which turns all of your cards, sorry, all of your lands into swamps. So you have a like nice redundancy there as far as how to activate that ability. And the other cards that have like a backup to the Dread Presence, because that's going to have a big target on its back, is Retreat to Hagra, which I played in my old versions of this deck, which is the Landfall 3 mana enchantments, black and 2 colorless from, I want to say, Battle for Zendikar. And it has two abilities. One is it drains your opponent for 1 life. You gain 1 life whenever a land enters. And the other one, the other one is, I believe you get +0/+1 to any creature in Death Touch. So you know, I don't know if you need that in a pinch, maybe, you know, for your, you know, to give all of your, because this deck plays like Arboreal Grazers and Llanowar Elves, like 8 of those.
Sure, so you can turn an Arboreal Grazer into a
If you don't have any
death,
other way to
1/4 Death Touch, that's pretty cool.
But if you don't have any way other way to win, if you have like 4 Grazers and 4 Elves in play and Escape Shift, and that's all you got, and you got to retreat, and like 4 damage from, you know, Escape Shifting 4 lands isn't going to do anything. But if you just get 4/+4/+0 to all your creatures, that's a game over right there.
Is it all your creatures
or 1 creature? I believe. Okay, sorry, not all your creatures. I think it's just 1 creature. But still, okay. Yeah, you can give you know, some power to your weak creatures early on. So yes, yeah. 4 grazers, 4 elves to be able to get out that turn to Azusa, Lost But Seeking, which lets you put 2 lands into play. And if you're going to be taking advantage of that, you really need to have a card like Courser of Kruphix in there, which just lets you, you know, keep putting lands into play. Mm-hmm. I have Abrupt Decay, Assassin's Trophy as my removal package. 4 Scape Shift, of course. Someone said Splendid Reclamation is probably a good idea, so why not? You could also I could also maybe play that that Merfolk if I wanted to, the 3/3 World Shaper. I don't know which one's best here, but
yeah, that one's probably not great
because you have to kill it to be able to get stuff back. So. And then the other one that I kind of thought of after playing against somebody on Arena in the historic version of this was Bolas's Citadel. And I had no idea that this is basically another Courser of Kruphix. I totally skipped that part. I knew that you could play cards off the top of it and you could sacrifice 10. I didn't know you could also play lands off the top of it.
Yes, you can, yeah.
So it's like, if anybody doesn't know what Bolas's Citadel is, it's an artifact, 3 black and 3 colorless, legendary, of course. Sacrifice 10 permanents to make your opponent lose 10 life. So this is like another, you know, if you already got them down to that, you know, dangerous level of life from your Dread Presence or your other stuff, this is a good way to just finish out the game, because you'll be putting so many... lands, you know, into play.
Yeah. Now, that seems tricky, but
and then you get all that life too, that, you know, you're dealing damage, so you just keep on playing lands, dealing damage, playing lands, dealing damage. Oh yeah, I should also say the Dryad of Elysian Grove also lets you put an extra land into play, so you have that plus the Azusa, so you can end up putting a crap ton of lands into play each turn and just play everything else from Bolas's Citadel by losing life and then land. So I don't know. What do you think? Is this a little bit better than the past versions of Scape Shift?
So, you know, I've definitely tried building some decks like this. I think probably the biggest thing that worries me is that, you know, Arboreal Grazer, Azusa, Dryad, they all let you play more lands from your hand, but you don't have that many ways to get lands into your hand. It makes me really think that with those kind of effects, you know, you need to be playing probably like 6 or 7 more lands than what you have, and that seems like a lot. You know, you're at like 26, I think, here, and like, I've seen 30 in this kind of deck, and that's not at all unreasonable. And I think you're higher on those kind of effects than even most of these decks are. So, you know, I'd probably cut Azusa. I might cut Llanowar Elves and just make all of those lands, and that would probably put you in a somewhat safer spot.
But we still want to get out that three mana card relatively quickly, though. That's why, yeah, I got the Coursers.
Yeah, I can see Llanowar Elves.
I mean, Azusa lets you play two cards, 2 lands a turn, and Courser It's just gonna, like, you see your land on top, you play it. You see your land on top, you play it. So
yeah, but if you see not a land, then you have two cards not doing anything. That's the real problem.
The other card that I considered playing in this deck was the, what was it? The Jadelight Ranger.
Yeah, that I've seen in this kind of deck too.
So, I mean, So that would be your big change then.
I think I've actually got I'll find a list that I've got that's similar to that. But yeah, that's probably what I would change is something along those lines. And did you think at all about running the we've got two different cards that let you, there's Ramunap Excavator and there's Crucible of Worlds. Did you look at those at all, or were those probably too cute?
You mean like instead of the Splendid Reclamation to get stuff back?
Maybe, or maybe in addition, like that would give you more ways to play lands every turn.
Because I used to play the Excavator when we had fetch lands in Frontier. But now there's not a lot of ways to easily get lands into the graveyard early on.
That's so, definitely a problem. You could maybe do Satyr Wayfinder, but even then, it's a bit tricky.
Because even then, like, if you have to play Scapeshift, when are you be playing the 2/3, the Excavator? You can be playing it later on in the day. Oh, sorry, in the game. So
here, so I just posted an old kind of similar of the same kind of deck that you were talking about.
The Scapeshift.
Well, it didn't run Scapeshift, but it was more of a Bullet Citadel deck, Corsair, okay. Dryad, and that had, the full Explore package.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, there would be two ways you could build this if you just wanted to put it into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay. Also, I mean, what about not having, what's it called? The Tracker. Is that blasphemy?
I don't know if I had Tireless Tracker. Did you have Tireless Tracker
in here? No, but I'm wondering, like, it seems like you'd want to have Tireless Tracker in this type of deck, right?
Yeah, maybe sideboard, in the sideboard. Honestly, what this deck needs is Field of the Dead.
Yeah, some extra win con. What do you think, though, as far as, like, having these multiple way to wins? You have the Dread Presence, you have Bolts of Citadel, and you have the Retreat is kind of like three different win paths.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'd try it. It could be fun.
All right. Your turn, last one, maybe?
All right, yeah, probably my last one. This one, didn't go too deep on anything. It was sort of just like, I had a deck that wasn't great, and I was like, oh, man, this could be the perfect spot for a new card. He's just in there as a two of, so maybe I won't go too long on this. But I tried out Gadrak, the Crown Scourge.
So Gadrak.
So he was the three-mana dragon, the 5/4, and he can't attack most of the time unless you have four artifacts, which is kind of rare. But whenever a creature dies... at the end of the turn, you make a treasure token for each creature that died. And, he's just a 5/4 flying blocker for 3 mana, which is kind of cool. So I just put him in a deck with just a ton of removal and some other, dragon synergies, some other, big creature synergies. So I'm playing Grixis, but I've got Kiora Behemoth Beckoner. That's the one that
untaps a card
and draws you a card when you play a 4 or more power creature, which Gadrak is. And then just like so much removal. I've got Bonecrusher Giant, I've got Chandra, I've got the Sarkhan Planeswalker, Fatal Push, Kolaghan's Command. So kind of just, he's just going to sit there as a huge blocker that draws me a card when he comes in and makes me a bunch of extra mana, which is something the deck really wants.
So it's kind of like a Grixis Midrange, but it's also the what do you call?
Kind of dragon shredable, but also Grixis Midrange. Yeah, definitely more of a Grixis Midrange, but just something I was trying out here.
These are always the decks that look really good on paper.
And then they don't
perform
well.
Yeah,
they just don't have an unlimited combo, and they're praying, the decks that are fast enough to beat combo are still fast enough to beat them. So, like, yeah, I know how you feel.
Disruption's good.
I always try this.
Yeah. I like it. I want to like it. I want it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think... the metagame is ready for it. So
I want to try him in red-white, too. I feel like Gadrak, and then you just the 3-mana sweeper that gives him lifelink.
You said white-red? You mean the Clarion.
Yeah, I forget the name of that one.
Yeah, that's possible.
Maybe. And I had one more, but it's kind of not quite a net deck. It's more of a, I saw someone else trying this idea, so I'm
going to talk about it.
List, but yeah, I could talk about it. You wanted to kind of, you were saying you wanted to end the show with like talking about other brews we've seen. We're already going at like 45 minutes, so maybe I'll just mention this one, or if you have any other brews you want to just give a quick shout out to.
I mean, yeah, if you would have mentioned this is fine. Like, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to kind of say, like, what was, like, you think was the best brew from last season? We could use that to end the show if you wanted to do that. But if you want to talk about this one real quick, go ahead. It sounded fun the way you were explaining it earlier.
So it's a Green Red Monsters deck. You know, I got to play the new Garruk's Harbinger, which I was really hyping up. But the big thing here is the Terror of the Peaks. So that's the 5-mana dragon, which I maybe overestimated a little bit. I was thinking, you know, we got Glorybringer, he'll never see play, but this deck especially, you know, you just pump out a creature afterwards and you blow up everything.
Yeah.
And then the real big part here is, you know, Vivian Monsters Advocate is a card I was hyped about last spoiler season that never really saw play. But there's a nice little combo here is, if you guys remember that one, it can make a 3-3 with Vigilance, Reach, or Trample as a plus. It can let you play creatures off the top of your library. And then the minus is a -2. Whenever you cast your next creature spell this turn, you search for your library for a creature with converted mana cost lower, and you put it right into play. So what you can do is cast something big and then search for the Terror of the Peaks, put it into play first. So if you cast Galta, you know, a 12-12 that can be pretty cheap, then you go search up Terror of the Peaks, put Galta into play, and then Terror triggers and you deal 12 damage to something. Or you can grab Woodland Bellower and grab, like, a Steelleaf Champion off of that, so you do 5 to 1 thing, 6 to another, and you've got, you know, 10 power in play, or no, 11, 16, 16 power in play, yeah, something like that. So,
man, green is so busted.
Yeah, green's fun.
Yeah.
So just another kind of a take on, like, the green-red monsters kind of meta.
No, I like it. It's very spicy. I think this has a better chance than the life gain one.
Yeah, especially because we're kind of seeing, you know, these green-red decks existing currently.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's finish up. What was the best, you know, brew that you saw last season from Ikoria?
I think that's easy. I mean, it's, at this point, no longer a brew deck is Winota. Winota is just crushing. I think that it's still being underhyped because it is just a really good deck and really good against the best decks in the format.
It's fast. It's nasty. I still feel like the humans, the targets, just aren't that exciting, though. I mean, yes, it's a good
deck.
They're
not, but they don't need to be.
Yeah.
You know, when your fail case is that you're playing a ton of turn two Rabble Masters, that's just a good deck against a lot of decks right now.
Yeah. So maybe eventually it won't be as good when people, like, smarten up to how, you know, broken it is. But yeah, I like it as well. That would have probably been one of my choices. And I think, you know, now that they've changed the companion rule, it's going to be a little bit more easy to find out which are the actual brews and not just what deck just had Lurrus thrown into it. So I would probably say like one of the Yorion decks, maybe. Like the Yorion Fires deck, perhaps. What do you think?
Yeah, that's probably fitting. I love those kind of decks. You know, big fan of those.
I mean, Fires really didn't see any play before the season. You know, it was in Standard a lot, but it didn't see really any play in Pioneer. But people started to pick that up. And that's really the only one that can still kind of survive, I think, in any of the Yorion decks that can survive other than the mono-white one. Because, you know, they have all this open mana. You know, they're just playing Fires, and then they can, you know, pay the 3 and put it into your hand, and then they can play it.
Yeah, definitely one of the best for that.
So that's probably one of my top choices for, you know, good brews of the Ikoria Pioneer metagame.
Okay. All right, so we're going to keep brewing. If you guys have any fun brews that you want us to talk about, I would love to hear what you guys are brewing up, because this is a fun format. So tweet out at me. I'm at MTG Pioneer. You can also find us about our podcast. We've got a Discord, the First Pioneers. We've got a Reddit. We're on MTG Pioneer. There's a Discord attached to that, too. So a lot of good ways to reach out to us and find us. Tell us anything you want to know about Pioneer.
And also, if you want to see any of these deck lists that, you know, we talked about in today's show, they should be on our First Pioneers channel on Discord. And just look at our deck list tab, and you should find them all there.
Yep. Do you want to give your contact info?
Yeah, real quick, if you guys want to contact me, again, you can find me on the First Pioneers Discord channel, or you can talk to me on Twitter at YoSchwenky, which is WoSchwenky. So I
had to remember it there for a minute.
Yeah, it's still too early for me. But yeah, this was fun. I enjoy talking about new brews. I can't wait to actually build them in paper.
Same here, and I'm going to be doing some playing as well. So thank you guys so much. We are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are a podcast all about the Pioneer MTG format, keeping our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And thank you. Good night.